Hi everyone, welcome back to Kindergarten Kept Simple. Today I am joined by a very special guest, Amanda. So join me in welcoming her to the podcast. Hello, Amanda.
Hi, Mariah. It's so nice to be on here. I'm so excited that we finally got together to do this again. I know you were on my podcast, Creative Kindergarten. I don't even know how many years ago now.
Yeah, you were my
first guest. Yeah, you were my first guest on the podcast, like a long time ago. So it's nice to be doing it again with you.
Yeah, I remember I was in my old house. I was back in Ottawa. So that must have been at least 2.5 years ago, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a while ago. But yeah, I really enjoyed recording with you, and it got me ready and like able to record with other people because it was just so much fun. So I was like ready to jump in with recording with others after that too.
I love it. Okay, well, tell us a bit about yourself, where we can find you, what you do, where you are in the world. Give us the spiel.
All right. So my name's Amanda, and I'm an early childhood educator in Ontario, Canada. And in Ontario, in our kindergarten classrooms, it's usually a classroom that is a two-year program. And there's two educators in the room. There's a teacher and an early childhood educator. So I am the early childhood educator in a kindergarten classroom in Ontario. And I have my Creative Kindergarten. It started off as a blog, so you can find me definitely on my blog, but then I've gone into Instagram. I have my own podcast, the Creative Kindergarten Podcast, and I just love talking and thinking about kindergarten, reflecting on what I'm doing in my classroom, and just sharing that with other educators.
Yeah, and I'll link all of her info and where you can find her in the show notes, so definitely check that out. On Instagram, I think your Creative Kindergarten Blog on TPT.
Yeah, that was a mistake. So long handle on Instagram. I was just at work one day and I'm like, I should just make an Instagram. And then I tried putting just Creative Kindergarten in and it wasn't working. I think Instagram was just glitchy that day for some reason. So I just kept inputting random names into the Instagram thing. And that's the one that finally got through. And I'm like, oh, this is really long. And I didn't really think that it was going to become what it has become. So
yeah.
It's long, but it's there. If you just start.
And whenever I write out your handle, like when I'm doing anything for Camp Kinder, Amanda was at Camp Kinder last year. She's joining us again this year. Whenever I write it out, it's always like section break. And I'm like, no, I need to shrink the font now.
I know. It was such a mistake. And then like, honestly, I never thought in a million years Creative Kindergarten would become what it has become. And so I wasn't really thinking long term with the name. I was just like, I have a picture. I want to share this. And then now I'm like, every time I have to say it, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's almost embarrassing how long it is.
Well, good for you for sticking with it. I know I've like gone through many a rebrand over the years before settling where I am now, but I feel like you're committed to the long game.
I'm just going to go for it. I'm just going to do it.
She also has a TPT store, lots of great kindergarten activities on there. So you can definitely check that out. And yeah, like I said, I'll link everything in the show notes. But today she's going to tell us about a topic that is near and dear to her heart. So Amanda, take it away. Tell us what we're talking about today.
I really wanted to talk about easy, simple ways that you can engage students with your classroom environment. Classroom environment for me is like one of the key things that I'm always thinking about when I'm thinking about my kindergarten classroom space. I want educators to be reflecting on their space. And like, I'm always just thinking like, how can I make this better for my students? And that's just where I'm at in my practice. Like, looking at different things in my classroom and how can I make it better? So I wanted to really talk about three different ways that you can think about your classroom spaces and how you can just make it simple for yourself, but also make it really impactful for your students.
I love that. And I think that often the environment can kind of shift to the background and we almost forget about it, but it has such a big impact. Like you said, I was actually coaching someone 2 weeks ago and I was trying to figure out the root of the problem she was having, where she was feeling so uninspired and she felt like her kids were not engaged and she was so tired of trying to think up all these centers. And we were talking for a bit and finally I realized that it was an environmental setup issue. Just the way she had her tables all split up facing walls, only small groups of kids. And she was so uninspired to put things out and the kids were not engaging with each other and they weren't able to really get into things either. So once we shifted that and she rearranged her room, she instantly saw a dramatic change. So I think that it does have a larger impact than we maybe give it credit for until you experience it for yourself.
Yeah, it really, like I've really shifted my thinking about the kindergarten classroom space over the years. Like it went from being something that was not really thought about, like, oh, it's just a classroom space. It's not super important to it being like one of the things that I think about on the daily when I walk into my classroom. Like, what am I seeing? What are the kids seeing? What's going to inspire them? What's going to create that sense of belonging for my students in the space? Like, how can we make it better for them always?
I love that. And I love the trend too that I've been seeing lately of kind of moving away from it needs to look perfect and regio and natural and all of this. And really that was more for the educators than it was for the kids. But now we're seeing it through a more focused child-centered lens.
Yes. And that's my biggest thing is like when I'm choosing to put things up in the classroom, who am I putting it up for? Is it for me? There are some things that like I have pictures of my family up on the wall. I have a picture of my dog, you know, just hanging up on the wall. There are things in my classroom that are for me. I do spend 8 hours a day there. But at the same time, I want most of the classroom space to be for my students. It's not for me. Like it's their classroom. And I want it to really reflect them and inspire them and be accessible to them.
Love
so
it.
I think it's really important. Yeah. I know I see all of these like Instagram or Pinterest perfect classrooms. And then I know a lot of educators get really overwhelmed really quickly with these kind of classroom spaces. And it's just, you know, thinking about your classroom space and then really honing in on what is going to be best for your students. You know, what works for the classroom next door might not work for your students, and really being able to reflect on that is really important, I think.
I agree. And also speaking of Instagram and Pinterest classrooms, like where you're often only seeing one tiny corner of it, not the whole room. And that tiny corner might be filled with beautiful woven baskets, but that doesn't mean you need to go out of your way to Dollarama spending all your money on baskets and everything. No. It's a lot of pressure, but it's an unrealistic pressure, especially if you're not in that space of your life right now.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really finding what works for you, your students, and just, again, I've been doing it for 9 years. So yes, I do have a collection of things that I use, but that's after 9 years of doing this. Like if you were coming into it your first year, is your classroom space going to look the same as the one I'm sharing on Instagram? No, because like you're your first year. So it's like taking that pressure off of educators and really just like giving them permission to be like, no, this is what's working for my students. And this is what I'm going to do for my classroom. And just allowing that to be more of the norm, I feel like needs to happen.
Totally. I shared a picture a few weeks ago of my first year classroom because I was like, we don't need to be, if you're a first year teacher, I want you to see what my classroom looked like as a first year teacher, mm-hmm. not what my classroom looked like years and years into the game, like you said, after accumulating all this stuff. So I love that, normalizing it, not comparing yourself to others, especially when you're not even in a similar stage of your teaching career or financial setup or whatever. So anyways, tell us your first thing.
My first thing, and this again, you have to remember that like whenever I'm talking about these, this is what is working for my students at this time. What is the thing for your students? My thing for my students this year is art. They are little artists that any kind of material you put in front of them, they want to explore, they want to paint, they want to draw, they want to try different things, and they are loving it. I love putting just their art on the bulletin boards. I don't make fancy bulletin boards. My bulletin boards, I've said this a million times, my bulletin boards at the beginning of the school year are blank. There's nothing on them. And so I love filling them up with the things that my students are creating, and the light in their eyes when they see their art on the wall, like they just light up. You've made their work so important to them. And so, you know, make your bulletin boards easy. Put up your students' art. Like that is like the simplest thing. Every time they finish a piece of art, I staple it to our bulletin board, and that fills up our bulletin board. And it's just the easiest thing to do. And you don't have to cut out a whole million bulletin board letters. You don't have to be putting up borders. You don't have to be doing, it's really coming from the students, and it's building that sense of belonging. It's building up their confidence as learners. It's doing so much for them.
Oh my gosh, I could talk all day about co-creating the space and the value of them seeing themselves represented in the space, and the value of just them seeing like my work is good enough to be on display in the room for everyone to see. Giving them that win is huge. Plus, not to mention, it's so much less work for you as an educator.
Yep. You don't have to do a million cutouts and all of this stuff. And I just don't have time for that. Like, honestly, no. I don't have time for that.
Like searching through bulletin board letters is my nightmare.
Yeah, no, there's no bulletin board letters. If a student wants to write something to put up on the bulletin board, they can go for it. Like, that is for them to create. Those are the spaces that I really want from them. We created this past week a painting with flowers. We made a garden. We read the book Just Ask, and then they painted a garden. And then I took pictures of them and I cut them out and I put the pictures on in their garden to go along with the book. And so each of my students has that up on the wall now. They ran up there and were pointing to their friends and to each other as soon as they saw it. They were so excited to see that piece of artwork displayed. And I was like, well, there we go. That was like one of the simplest things. It's mostly them. I just cut out a picture of them and glued it on there. But it was mostly them that created it. And it had such an impact on, you know, seeing themselves as artists and seeing themselves represented in the room. And it was really fun.
I feel like you said that so casually, but it's such a big thing where the fact that they actually engaged with the bulletin boards, because how many times has that happened in classrooms before, where usually it almost fades into the background. They don't really engage with it. They don't really look at it that much. It's not even really used as a resource. Even if you have like a sound wall or something on it, I feel like unless you're constantly calling attention to it, these things kind of just become background noise. So how fabulous that because they were so involved and invested in the process that it became a focal point to them of their learning, showcasing everything that they've got going on. I think that's very powerful.
Yeah. And we just read another book this week, Nibby's Water Song. And then in it, they were noticing the artwork that was in it. And they were super interested in the illustrator and how they did the artwork. And so I was like, this is fantastic. I'm going to do art connected to this book next week. And then I'm going to put it up on the wall again. And they're going to be engaging with the book, with the text, with the artist all over again through the bulletin board. So it's really using the students as art, or even if they like building and you're taking pictures of what they're building, whatever it might be that really energizes your students, use that for your bulletin boards rather than sitting down and cutting out a million things for your bulletin board, and let the students be a part of that process. It takes a lot off of you as the educator.
Totally. I think it's just so much of a better use of space and use of your time. It doesn't need to be fancy. Like you said, take some pictures of their building creations, print them out in black and white if that's all you've got at school, and staple them up. They're going to look at that a lot more than if you have decided that it's December, therefore we're going to make a beautiful snowy snow globe display and no one cares about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it has to really be something that they are really engaged in, inspired by, and then it really
all about being relevant to them.
Yeah, exactly. And then it creates a cycle, because then they want to create more art because they're so inspired by the previous art that they've created and you've put on display for them, and it's really just such a great way to inspire them in your classroom, and easy, simple.
That's we love that. Yeah. Love it. Okay, tell us thing number two.
So the other thing, and I've kind of mentioned it, but using their pictures around the classroom is super huge for me. I love taking pictures of my students, and also they love taking it. Like anytime they do something that they think is amazing, they'll call me over and be like, can you please take a picture of this? Come take a picture. So you see me walking around my classroom constantly with either an iPad or a cell phone in my hand, because all they want to do is take pictures. First of all, great for documentation in your classroom. But then I love repurposing those pictures for other things. Like we were learning about 2D shapes. And so every time they saw a 2D shape, they were like, look, I have a triangle. I have a circle. I have this. So I was just taking all these pictures of students showing me these 2D shapes. And I, again, printed them out super easy. You print them out if your school has color, because that's amazing. Your school has color. Or if it's just in black and white, that's okay as well. And so I printed out a whole bunch of them, and then they helped me cut them out. They labeled what 2D shape they had. We made a whole display in our classroom of the 2D shapes that we found just randomly around the classroom. And then again, they're going up to those pictures and pointing to their friends and saying, oh my goodness, look at this. This such and such has this shape, such and such has a shape. And the pictures of students, again, you want them to feel that sense of belonging in your classroom. And adding their pictures is such a huge, huge part of that. And I it's again, easy. Simple.
Totally. It's an undeniable visual reminder to them that this is their space, and connecting them to the curriculum points. It's so great.
Yeah. And the other thing that we did, I did this last year and I did this year. So in two different classrooms, it's been a massive hit with our students. We send home a little note to families and we ask them to send in a picture of the families and a little blurb about themselves. And each student gets to present their family, talk about if they're from out of Canada or from within Canada, like, where are you from around the world? And then we have a big map on our wall and we put all the family pictures around our map on the wall and we indicate where all of our families are from and we talk about where families are from. We have a very multicultural classroom. So we are able to talk about all kinds of places around the world, which is fantastic. And we put their family pictures up on the wall and they get so excited every time their picture goes up on the wall. And anybody who comes into the room gets brought over to our map and they show their families off to the people who are coming in and they talk about each other's families. And it's such a fantastic, easy way to just create that sense of belonging and importance in the classroom. And it's mostly just asking families for pictures.
Yeah, not to mention that's like your entire belonging and contributing comments right there.
Right there. What did they bring in? What did they talk about? What did they, like, when they're showing it off to their friends, all those kinds of stuff. Like, that's an easy, again, documentation. You have that in your classroom now. And that's our whole, like, back wall of our classroom. And again, it's not a wasted space. It's really something that has contributed to our classroom.
Yeah, I think we talk a lot about layout of the classroom in terms of where my tables are, where my shelves are, where my dramatic play is. And we almost forget about all of this vertical real estate that we have. And it doesn't need to be just pretty. It doesn't need to be just blank. You can use it as a valuable teaching tool and as a true and important part of the learning environment.
Yeah. Like our classroom environment itself, like the tables and stuff, like we have these massive tables. We actually got rid of one this year because they were so massive. There was like no room to have anything else in our classroom. So like there's not so much movement I can create with the table spaces or anything in my classroom. So I really like utilizing those vertical spaces, like you said, to really change up our room and like add more to our classroom environment, because for me, that's so valuable. Like I can put out all the materials in the world for my students, but if they don't feel like they're important and they're not involved in the learning, like it's not going to matter. Right.
Totally. All right. Yeah. One final tip, I think.
Yes. One more. And this one has been one of the ones that has saved my sanity most of the time. And it doesn't sound like it at first, but we make all of our supplies available to students. Like if my students need a pair of scissors, the scissors are right there for them. So snack time, I do not open any snacks.
Ooh, love it.
They can walk over, grab the scissors that they need, cut open their snack, and then go back to their table and have their snack. The pencils are available. The crayons are available. Everything that my students might need, math tools, are on a shelf where they can reach them. So it makes, like, sometimes I'm like, I need a pencil. I'm like, you know where the pencils are. You don't need to ask me. And they go over and they grab the pencils that they need. It sounds like a nightmare, but really, if you're teaching their students, like our first few weeks of school was just teaching our students how to be respectful with the classroom materials. And, you know, how to use scissors. Like one day was how to use markers. The next day was how to use scissors. The next day was how to use a glue stick. Like we really honed in on how to use the materials and explicitly taught those skills. And so now, like, we just have the materials there for my students. Oh, you need a whiteboard marker? Well, they're right there. Just go get them. And having it available empowers students to really be a part of their own learning, to problem solve, and to really just not bother you for everything that they need all the time. And totally. It's really massively made my life so much easier.
The more we can create independence and that kind of, you know, go-getter attitude in our students, the better. Like you are for sure going to be asked 6 million questions a day. So why don't we eliminate some of the ones that we know are going to be asked?
Yeah, exactly. Like I don't need to open 50 million snacks. If their students are capable, they can go and get a pair of scissors and open their own snack. They can go get a pencil if they need it. Same thing for paper. There's paper available. So if they're wanting a piece of paper to do something on, just go get yourself a piece of paper. Like they don't even have to ask permission. They just go and get what they need and on with their day.
So this is like mostly consumables, art type stuff, or do you have your loose parts, math, all of that accessible to them?
All of that is accessible. We have like a whole shelf of puzzles. If they want to use puzzles, they just go grab a puzzle off the shelf and they can just use puzzles. We have all of our math tools available on the shelf, like anything we can fit. Obviously, we put it out there. We have loose parts, anything in the dramatic play center, like all the dolls, all the blocks, everything is just out for them to use.
And how do you keep it organized? Do you have pictures or labels or what?
To be honest, I thought about doing labels, but our kids, like we do have, again, every year is going to be different. So you're taking everything I'm saying and applying it for what works for your students. Our students are pretty fantastic this year at organizing things. I don't know what it is with this group of students, but if you tell them, like we taught them sorting, but we really didn't need to even teach them sorting because they just know how to sort automatically. But they just put everything back where it belongs. And if they need some help to do that, I go over and I say, okay, the scarves are going to go into this bin, that this kind of block goes into this bin. And then they kind of just take over from there. But now that we're into December, they know mostly where everything goes and they don't really have a problem putting things back where they belong anymore. It did take some explicit teaching at the beginning of the year, but again, putting that work up front has helped us tremendously in the long term. But yeah, adding teachers can definitely be a strategy if your students do need that.
Yeah, I don't think it's reasonable for someone to listen to this and then on Monday be like, okay, I'm opening up all the cupboards. We're just going to go for it. Obviously, I think that would be a bit of a disaster. You want to start small, explicitly teach them and show them and remind them and be in it with them, sorting it and putting everything away, and also giving yourself a little bit of extra time at cleanup and allowing for that learning curve.
Yes, exactly. Like we did do a lot of the front work for it to be this way in December. It's exhausting in September, to be honest, because you're constantly like teaching these routines, but then it makes your life so much easier when the rest of the school year goes on. Like we have a student now, we were just talking to her on Friday and she thrives with being given jobs. Like if you ask her to do something, she thrives in that. So now she's responsible for sharpening all of her pencil crayons. Like, So you know, we taught her how to do it on Friday. And now, like, because we took that time, I don't have to sharpen pencils anymore. Like, we have one of those X-Acto automatic sharpeners, taught her how to use it, showed her what would be the appropriate way to use it, did some hand over hand so she could feel what it felt like when it was sharpening pencils properly. And now I have a kid that can just sharpen all my pencils. And, like, she thrives in that. Like, that's what she loves. So,
love it.
Right? Like find those things that your students can take over for you so you don't have to constantly be doing it all yourself. I think that that's super important.
Yeah, I'll link my co-creating episode in the show notes as well, because something I talk about is my motto of never do something a kid could do, obviously within reason. It might take a little bit longer. You might need to pre-teach, but it's so worth it to see how much pride they have, how much they grow as a learner, that, you know, engagement and the sort of sense of the learner being in control of their own learning and all that is so crucial. Plus it's less work for you. It's just win-win-wins all across the board.
Yeah. And it makes their classroom feel like it's theirs. If they're able to use the materials and they're responsible for it, then the classroom becomes part of their responsibility and they feel that pride and that sense again of belonging and the sense of importance of their classroom environment. And it puts it on them a lot more. And I have had like supplies available almost every single year that I've taught for the past a long time. And again, there always comes a day where I'm like, okay, we need to re-examine, we need to reteach some things. But in the long term, it is such an important skill for them and it's so worth it.
And I think it extends way beyond that as well, because if you as the educator are always the one in this, you know, sort of authoritative power position, they're constantly going to be deferring to you, which is going to hinder their ability to be, you know, inquisitive and good problem solvers in every aspect, including social things. They're just going to constantly defer to you because that's what they do for every other routine in the classroom. So the more we can encourage them to have autonomy and to be independent and to solve their own problems and, you know, go out of their way and be innovative, I think it's just truly just a winner in all aspects of the program, all aspects of their lives, everything.
Yeah, my big motto, and the kids will always hear me say this, is like, you need to try And then once you've tried, then I can help you. But I never do anything for them. And like, not unless it's dangerous, like within reason. I'm not going to make a kid like climb on top of a chair or something, but like they need to try first. And if they try and it doesn't work, I will help them. And then if I'm helping them, I'm talking them through and walking them through the process. So the next time they're going to try on their own. Like most of my kids, it's December and we haven't really had any snow yet, but most of our kids are able to independently get ready to go outside.
Yep.
And they did not come to school with those skills. So we make sure we plan extra time to give them the opportunity. Like that is the part of it, right? You give that extra time for them. So we are not rushed to get outside at the end of the day or rushed to get outside at lunch. We give ourselves the extra 5-10 minutes so that they can really try to do things. So I'm not like, okay, just zip, 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 zip so we can get outside. Like I really give them that time. Like you're going to try zipping up your jacket. Once you've tried, I will then help you and I hand over hand do everything with them.
Love it. I think these were great, solid tips that are not overwhelming. I think people can go back and start implementing them right away, which I think is always the greatest takeaway when you listen to something new and hopefully kind of change up how the rest of the year feels in your rooms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really like the simple things, like put up some art, put up some pictures, and just let them explore some materials by themselves, like have those things available to them and just see how that changes how your students interact with the classroom environment and how they interact with the going about their daily experiences in the classroom.
Totally. And I know you'll be back at Camp Kinder this summer. So why don't you give us a little teaser, a little spiel about what we can kind of look forward to with your workshop this summer? Because I know that last year, your workshop was one of the most popular. When I look at the views, it definitely has one of the most views, tons of comments about how valuable all the information was, people so inspired to go back and set up their classroom. So I know that everyone will be keen to hear from you again.
Yeah, I talk about classroom environment and setup and how I go about thinking about my classroom environment, especially at the beginning of the school year. That's why Camp Kinder is great, because it's before you set up your classroom environment. So, and I know I can't turn off my educator brain during the summer, but I'm just like that. But I'm always thinking about, okay, what can I do to improve my classroom environment? So I talk a lot about, you know, what kind of resources you have available to students, making sure we have those mirrors and windows and sliding glass doors for our students, and how we can really rethink our classroom environment so it works for your students and for yourself, so that you can really have a great start to the school year and create an environment that is, you know, accessible and provides that sense of belonging for your students.
I love it. I think that starting off the year on a strong foundation of having that classroom environment, you know, is setting the stage for the community, setting the stage for a really solid year, is incredibly powerful. So I would encourage everyone to watch Amanda's session this summer. More info on that coming out soon, but we will end it here today. So thank you so much, Amanda, for coming on, sharing all your wisdom with us. Like I said, I'm going to link her blog, her TPT, her podcast, her Instagram, all that in the show notes. So make sure you go and check it out. And again, Amanda, thank you so much for being here. You're the best. And I'm so excited that you got to come on my podcast after all these years.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. And I just want to say thank you for having me on. I love talking about kindergarten. So I could go on forever.
Same. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll end it there. So everyone, thank you for listening, and we will catch you next time on Kindergarten Kept Simple.